listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of Mulberry.
DK in my urban warfare range. I bought it today.
Well, great. Well done. What's this?
It's my makeup bag.
Twist, we're going to rescue a dog from an animal testing laboratory. I'm sure there'll be lots of makeup there.
Oh, it's for luck.
Twist?
Tim. Better take it.
Okay. Now, when we get there, it's important while we're doing this, we don't use our real names. From now on, we'll be using code names, okay? Mike, you're Luke. Brian, you're Chewy. Daisy, you're Leia. Twist, you're Jabba. I'm Ham.
Can I be Ham?
No! Sound off. Luke?
Oh.
Chewie?
Me.
Leia?
Yes, Tim. Ham.
Jabba.
It's Jabba the Princess.
Yes.
Yeah. Here.
Okay.
Who wants a body massage?
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
Watch out for snakes!
What the?
What's he doing on the ground there?
What's happening? What's happened?
Open a mirror in front of his mouth.
Howard, he's dead.
Oh, shit. I paid $7,000 for a wedding. I'll never see it.
Oh, watch your language, Mr. Dirty Mouth.
Well, thank God he is still warm.
Oh, good.
Here,
I'll help you. Roll him over.
Oh. Canine cologne.
Oh, no more Yankee, my wanky. The donga need food.
Hell, he's three sheets to the wind. He's drunk as a skunk.
Oh, why don't you shut up, Fred? Shut up, dude. Dong. Dong.
Dong, Grandpa is talking to you.
Dong. Where is my automobile?
Automobile? Lake. Big lake.
Why, you little scuzzbag.
Monkey hate technology, robot hate the monkey.
it.
Hey, everybody! Woohoo! It's Friday again, baby. Nowhere in Mulberry. Boom goes the dynamite. Hello there. I am the Jaystrom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Episode 119 of Nowhere in Mulberry. We're here talking film, television, and pop culture. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us live on Talk Radio X. I am here, sans, how would you say that? Sans Steven, the pop culture zealot. Steven is trapped. Trapped, I tell you, in Portland, Oregon. But we will be calling him on the phone, Bill.
Of all the places to be trapped.
Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Thanks for asking.
Poor Steven stuck in Portland, Oregon, which I hear is a beautiful place. So
there's it is. Pacific Northwest, very nice, very rainy.
It's a place where there's very scenic. He could actually get out of the house for once. Get out
of
the hotel room, as they say. But Steven...
He's too busy watching hotel porn.
Yeah. I wonder if he gets tired of that after a while, though. Maybe not.
I doubt it.
But unfortunately, Steven's not here with me, but we will be calling him later because he really wants to talk about Battlestar Galactica and how the Cylons are pieced together in a factory like Legos. At least that's his theory anyway. So we'll be
He's still subscribing to that.
I don't know. But we will be calling him to find out his theories on the new season of Battlestar Galactica. Which I watched, and it's great to have the show back. But we'll talk about that later. I can't get into it now. I'm trying to get into it now, Bill.
You're going off on a tangent.
I've got to wait. I mean, I have nothing bad to say. I'm just glad it's back. But I wanted to just start talking about it right away. But, you know, I noticed that last week, our episode, I give little cutesy taglines like Macho Gary, episode 117, Macho Gary, or something like that. Well, last week I called Spaced. I almost called it Mixed Spaced. Just because...
You should have called it Mixed Spaced.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, but someone in our forum said, I thought this episode would be about Spaced. I'm disappointed. Obviously, they've never listened to our show because our show's never about one thing.
No. And obviously, they didn't read the synopsis of the show.
Right, the shows that we talk about.
Kind of like right there.
Hell's Kitchen, Big Brother, The Bachelor, whatever the hell we decided to talk
about.
Since
we talked about Joe McGinty, that should be it right there.
Come on, we talked about no, I'm not saying that.
The McGinster?
Joe McGinty. I almost said the name he wants us to call him, which I will not
do. No, that ain't happening.
I almost did that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not playing your game, dude. Not going to do it.
Game over, man.
But here's what I decided. What is it? Is it June, the Spaced American version of Spaced, not the American remake, but the UK release of Spaced has been out for a long time overseas, the television show.
In fact, in many different versions.
Yeah, by Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Jessica Stevenson, Hines, Nick Frost. They're finally releasing it here in the States.
Yes.
I believe it'll happen this summer. I believe that it will
be... I'm surprised they got the music clearance and everything. I hope they didn't have to change anything.
Right. So basically, that's coming out. And here's what I decided to do. This guy was like, oh, I thought this episode was going to be about space. I was disappointed. I was like, hey, why don't we do one of our DVD companion episodes of Mulberry? Not necessarily live. Maybe release it just on the feed. But where we talk about space and what we love about it in each episode. We did that before. And we've done it with 24. We've done it with Lost. And I haven't done it since then because it's a big pain in the ass. But I would do it for something like Space because it's such a fantastic show.
Yeah, we could do like a weekly podcast where we cover two episodes. You know, just go down the line of all the episodes.
Hell, I was thinking we'd release two. One would be for each season because there's only two seasons.
Well, true.
But see, I was just pulling a moment from one of the episodes for the intro. You heard it there on the intro, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was is... I heard the that moment, and I was like, well, I'm going to watch the rest of this episode. And then another episode, then another. And you end up watching the whole season.
You can't help it. Yeah. It's just so good.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So basically, I think that any of our listeners who like our show that have not watched Spaced, mainly because it's not available, I think maybe episode one is on YouTube in chapters, but you can finally buy this, and I want you to buy it, at least Netflix it. I think everyone will fall in love with the show. What is not to like? So I'll re-announce it again, like, hey guys, this week we're going to put out the first part of our Spaced podcast. Not mixed space, just so everyone knows.
Maybe we should do it leading up to the DVD release. That way, by the time it comes out, people can listen to our episodes after they watch them.
Yeah, it'll definitely be the kind of thing where you have to watch it first. Otherwise, we'll ruin things.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, have you heard about this Uwe Boll thing? This Uwe Boll controversy?
Oh, yeah.
How did this start? First of all, we filled in for the live test show this week because Aunt Bert's out of town. And it was a fantastic show.
Oh, yeah.
I hope everyone... But we talked about the Uwe Boll controversy there. And what it was is someone proposed, Uwe Boll, will you ever quit filmmaking? Everyone hates you. Everyone hates your filmmaking. Your movies suck. And I don't know the exact story, but I believe he kind of said, like, you get a petition of a million people, I may quit, kind of a thing.
Is he Russian now?
I don't know what he is. Austrian. He sounds like a guy doing an Arnold impression. So the next day, what was there, like 200,000 signatures on this petition?
Yeah. Like, he was like, oh, shit.
He's like, oh, shit. Well, I'm going to release a plea to my fans. And it's great. He released this plea to his fans, if there are any. And I have nothing against the guy. I think the guy's a horrible filmmaker, but you've got to hand it to the guy. I don't know what this guy is doing, but he finds people to give him money to make films. And he's made how many films now? Five or something? I don't even know how many, but he's House of the Dead. He did In the Name of the King, which was released theatrically, for Christ's sakes. It's not like these things are straight to video. They are released in theaters. He gets people, big stars like Ray Liotta and Michelle Rodriguez to be in his movies. And Christina
Loken. That's
really
not that hard of an effort.
Jason Statham, for Christ's sakes. So, I mean, I got to hand that to him. He gets movies made. He gets suckers to give him cash to direct them.
And they make money.
Well, so he's like, you want me to quit filmmaking? Why? And he gives an example of why would you want that to happen? You need to start another petition to save Uwe Boll. Let's go ahead and check it out. I love this guy.
So, hi, here's Uwe Boll, and I have a statement to make about that internet petition. There's a petition out, Stop Uwe Boll, and I said, like, if there are 1 million people on that petition, I stop actually making movies. And I want that there's a petition also out there, like a Pro Bowl petition. And I expect a million
Pro
votes.
Bowl. The NFL Bowl. Pro Bowl.
And I hope somebody will set it up and you all start signing it. Because, look, I'm not a fucking retard like Michael Bay or other people running around with their business or Eli Roth making the same shitty movies over and over again. If you really look at my movies, you will see my real genius. You know, and if you go on May 23 in Postal, you will see that I deliver a movie what nobody else delivered in the last 10 years. What is way better is all that social critic George Clooney bullshit what you get every fucking weekend. So you have to really wake up and you have to see me what I am. I'm the only genius in the whole fucking business.
Whoa. Okay. Wow. So he...
I got to say, man, he's... I'm not a fan, but I'm starting to like the guy.
After I saw that, I was like, yeah, man, I like that. Man,
because, look, you know, he's I'm not absolutely a fucking retard batshit like Michael nuts, Bay but, or other people running around in that business or Eli Roth making the same shitty movies over and over again. If you really look at my movies, you will see my real genius.
He's come out with Postal, the movie, which is based on a crappy video game, right?
And also, he just finished Far Cry.
Uwe Boll.
Which was based on a PC game, a first-person shooter. So
somebody's giving him money to make these things. I love what he says about George Clooney there. That was great.
It's all that social critic George Clooney bullshit what you get every fucking weekend.
Man.
Oh, man, you, or Uwe, whatever.
You know,
that's good stuff.
You know what? I'm like,
I want to see his Syriana.
And I should have warned listeners that there would be the F-bomb multiple times, but I couldn't edit that out. You got to get the full effect of it, okay? You got to get the full effect of the uva. And
Who else would call Michael Bay a retard? I mean, that's freaking genius.
And he says Eli Roth making the same film over and over again.
The same shitty movie. That's, yeah. I mean, that's...
I love
and it's
that.
True. At least his movies are different.
So I was getting a kick out of that. And the next day you're like, hey, Uwe Boll put out a new video. And I'm like, what? All right, I'm going to check this out. So he's got a new video. Let's check this one out.
So another note for the Boll haters here out in the web.
The web.
I don't know what I take away from you. But in a way, I get like so many hate emails and everything. And you think like they are like, I take money away from you, but it's you. You are on your own responsible that you don't make movies. It's not my problem.
What?
And it's
I'm
not
my own
my
responsible.
My money, what you would get to make your own movies if you get
I'm
me
confused.
Out of the business. I don't even know why you get off on me like crazy.
I get off on you?
I'm not in the Hollywood system. I'm the opposite, basically.
The opposite.
And that's the reason that you all hate me so much.
He's out of sight.
Because I prove that you can do it outside
he's
of the system.
He's dynamite.
And you don't come up with the cheap excuses you have why you never make it.
He's got a point there,
you're not able to make more as your mini DV videos at home with ketchup and your little brother. So I think you should
with
really
ketchup
make
and
up
your little brother?
You should put your jealous situation away. And if you write me, don't write me with some, like, bullshit nicknames out of the internet. Write me with your name and address so that I can track you down and rip you apart. Thank you.
Wow. I doubt people will do that, though. He's got a point, though. Like, all the Ain't It Cool News, they got their clever little handles. No one uses their
real
name.
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone hides
and,
behind their computer.
He's like the ultimate indie director. I mean, you got to admit to it. He's...
Overboard.
He's making a ton of movies with money that is given to him, and they make money.
Yeah, and many people who make fun of him, I mean, not being me, I don't see his movies, but they pay, they buy him on DVD to laugh at him. Some people are buying his movies, they're making money enough to keep him working. I mean,
the bad thing about it is his line about genius, though. I mean, there's no genius there, buddy. Maybe retarded genius.
Overboard.
Yeah, what was that part? Is just like
I'm the only genius in the whole fucking business.
Whoa.
Well, there's a certain amount of genius that goes along with it for him to be able to make his own movies his way, but
right. That's
not the right way.
Well, you have to be your own responsible.
Yes.
You are on your own responsible that you don't make movies.
Yeah, that's right. We are our own responsible that we don't make movies, Bill. So
I don't understand that one bit.
Uwe Boll.
Yeah, I don't either. But I can't wait to see Uwe Boll's next video plea for his petition.
I want to see him do like a... like maybe he should have made Valkyrie.
Yeah, with Tom Cruise. That's what I love. He gets people like Tara Reid and Christian Slater to do his films. I love that.
No, forget Tom Cruise. I want Christian Slater starring as the Klaus von Bülow. What, I don't know what the hell it is.
Greetings and salutations. Now, Bill, I have a couple of voicemails here, and usually I listen to the voicemails before we do them on the show. We play them. I did not have time. I have not heard these voicemails. And so I don't know what's going on here. So let's go ahead and check them out. Action.
Hello. This is Mystery Man calling again. Hopefully my phone connection doesn't suck like last time. I just finished listening to show 115 on the way home.
115?
Hey, it's filthy dirt like always.
Nice.
And you're talking about marketing at the very beginning of the show, and I was just wondering, are you guys like on any of those social networking sites like Facebook or Twitter or something? That's really good viral marketing, and it's an excellent lazy man's way of getting the word out. Just something you ought to consider, Twitter and Facebook. Ciao.
Those only work if you keep doing it, and
yeah.
I lose interest quickly. We're on Last FM, all right? That's about all you're getting.
No more talking about Last FM.
Yeah. We have a MySpace. That's about it. I don't know what else. Bill, have you? You know what Twitter is, right?
Yeah.
Where you kind of, it's almost like text messages to people who are watching what you're doing. Like, hey guys, I'm watching BSG right now.
But isn't that kind of like what our forum is? I mean, how many people would really sit there and read Twitter?
I honestly believe no one.
Yeah, exactly. People that are attached to like their messaging thing. I don't know. It's just kind of a stupid idea.
Well, I mean,
but not his idea, but Twitter itself. I always thought was kind of stupid.
It works for someone like Leo Laporte, where people actually are interested in what he's doing, but no one gives a crap what you and
I are
doing.
Yeah, but those are stalkers.
Yeah.
You guys on MySpace or?
Yes, we have a MySpace, Nowhere in Mulberry. But Twitter sounds like a neat idea, but I really, it's one of those things that is a neat idea, I think, probably for a week, and you lose interest in it.
Yeah.
And Facebook is like MySpace, but, I mean, I barely even do anything with the MySpace. I keep getting bans as our friends, that's about it.
I know.
I mean, so.
Bans, directors, comedians, comic book artists.
Who's gonna give it to her, huh, my man?
Huh?
You. That's who.
We need to get that guy on our MySpace, whoever that guy is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you? I don't know. Do you? I think you do. Do you?
No. Okay,
let's get Jonah Hill.
Yeah, we need to. No, we need to get that Fogel guy. All right, let's check out our second voicemail.
Oh, forgot to mention, BSG premieres tonight. I sincerely hope you guys are adding the
BSG. He must have sent this voicemail right after our last week's show.
Way back when. Ciao.
Ciao? You Italian?
I guess so. All right.
Ciao, Bella?
Ciao, Bella. All right. Well, thanks for the voicemail, Mystery Man. BSG did premiere last Friday. Yes. Awesome. I should have listened to these voicemails before we did the show. All right. Well, let's let's check out entertainment, Bill. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Uwe Boll.
Yes, exactly. All right, Bill, the Forgetting Sarah Marshall comes out next week, and I will be seeing that. This week, Keanu Reeves and Street Kings came out.
I almost went to see it today.
From what I saw is that it's kind of, it's almost like the dumbed-down version of, what was that movie with Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke?
Oh, Training Day.
Like Training Day, but the stupid version. Like, just kind of lame.
The version that has a touch of the downs?
Yeah. And also, a remake of Prom Night came out.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that one.
Yeah, it's a remake of a shitty movie. And it's got Jason Street from Friday Night Lights in it. So
I hope he dies early in it. Yeah. That's just embarrassing.
I know. I was saying, should we go see this to support Jason Street? But no, sorry.
No, you'd be supporting that American Dreams girl.
Yeah, what's her name?
Brittany something? Yeah, Brittany Snow?
Brittany Snow, yeah. Yeah, this movie looks really stupid, and the thing is, I couldn't get past the trailer. It starts out with some remake of Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, no.
Lying in my bed. And I'm like, no. Okay, I won't see that movie. Just like, nice try, dudes, but it's not going to happen. Now, the exciting trailer I did watch this week is for Space Chimps. Did you see that, Bill?
Oh, God. No. I saw it on firstshowing.com or firstshowing.net, and I was like, no.
I was like, I love monkeys. I love space movies. Space Chimps. Sold. Gonna see it. Definitely. And it's directed by?
Uwe Boll.
No one?
Uwe Boll.
Uwe Boll.
Now, that I wouldn't be surprised by.
I mean, what are you going to go see, that, Bill, or some George Clooney movie, huh?
It's all
Space, I think the full title was Space Chimps of the SS.
Bullshit, what you get every fucking weekend.
Whoa, come on, Uwe, with the F-bombs, all right? We're doing a family show here.
You need to calm down.
That's all I got to say about movies until next week, Bill, and I just think that,
Yeah.
TiVo! Now, Bill, Rosie O'Donnell was on television this week. Thank God for that.
Did she grab the crotch?
I don't know. Maybe she was on Good Morning America with that shit doesn't stink chick. You know who I'm talking about. She interviews Rosie, and she has to ask her about The View. Like, do you still watch The
Which
View?
Show was it?
Good Morning America.
Oh, Diane Sawyer.
That's it. Let's check it out.
I'm the same person I always was, but, you know, on my show there was no one with a conflicting point of view. And I was also the boss of everything, which, frankly, for me, works well.
But,
oh,
do you watch The View?
I do occasionally. I catch it, yes. Yeah. I see it on YouTube when something big happens.
What about you and Elizabeth? YouTube. In contact?
Yes, after she had her baby, I emailed her. And, you know, she doesn't email me back often, but she occasionally does. And, you know, I keep saying this, and it's not in any way, shape, or form to diminish or disparage, but she's very young. You know, when I was that young and I had a newborn baby and one in diapers and, you know, your life is a little bit more black and white than when you get to be 46 and you have gray hair all over.
You have no. You
oh,
have no
good
gray
Lord.
Hair.
There's some parts of
I'm
your hair you can
right
dye.
Over the all over.
Yeah, exactly.
You have no gray hair.
Well, because there's a very expensive hair dye in there. But okay. Frankly, I would be all gray.
She's disgusting.
Yeah, I'll say. Good
where
Lord.
Where she grabbed her.
I just puked in my mouth a little.
Yeah, what was she talking about? I don't want to know.
No, you know what she was talking about.
I don't know what she's talking
about. Don't act all like, oh, I don't know.
What is she talking about? I don't want to know.
And rubber belly all over him.
Oh, no, please.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Now, Bill, this week on Dancing with the Stars, you probably saw this. Shannon Elizabeth's partner, he turned his head real fast and heard something snap.
Yes.
And I saw a video of it where he turns his head and he goes, "Dah!" And I thought it was hilarious because, like, on Entertainment Tonight, they showed him go, "Dah! Dah! Dah!" like, multiple times. Like, it's like, okay, we get it. He turned his head and heard something snap. How many times are you going to do this? So, poor Shannon Elizabeth, she was worried about him. He was rushed away in an ambulance. And then the poor guy, he's got a bad neck. He went out on the dance floor to dance again. Hopefully he didn't turn his head sharply. Let's check it
he's
out.
He's one strong
on
Mormon.
Tuesday, disaster struck for Derek.
Oh, dear.
Derek was practicing for the Kylie performance. Something snapped in his neck. It was really scary to see him hurt. He's my partner, and we've become really close.
And I'm just really concerned that he might not be okay.
No, that's all right. It's just...
No, go sit down.
With show night approaching, I'm still in a lot of pain, but I don't want to let Shannon down.
Keep holding on.
You know I guess she went out to dance. Oh, my God.
Oh,
Jesus. I guess he should not
all
have...
All of a sudden, he turned into Homer.
He should not have gone back out on the dance floor. Wow.
That's what happens. So dance floor is dangerous.
So what do? You warm up your neck before you turn it real fast, or what?
I think you don't turn it real fast.
He's like, hey, dude. Yeah. Oh, snap. I don't know. Now, Bill.
It happens.
I guess so. How do you prevent something like that? Your neck snapping. I don't know. Now, Flavor of Love is what
Flavor.
It's called. Flavor of Love.
You refuse to go ghetto.
With Flavor Flav, yes.
It is Flavor of Love.
What was great is one of the contestants kind of jokingly said that Flava doesn't have any money, he's broke, and this isn't even his house. Basically, she opened her eyes and was like, this is a studio house. It's not his real home. No, like, do you think that's friggin' Bret Michaels' house on Rock of Love? It's a friggin' set, all right?
I was reading this week that they filed suit against, like, Bret Michaels' production company or whatever because there was, like, $300,000 worth of damage to the house that they used.
Yeah, it's not his house. And this chick is saying, this ain't Flava's house, so let's see what happens when it's brought to his attention.
Hot Lana comes in, and she states that she felt that you were broke. This is not your house.
Who heard her say that?
She said that this wasn't your house. She didn't have money like that.
Okay.
And that you have 7 kids, so that you have to pay a lot of child support.
Okay, which that she don't know, though, because she doesn't know my business. As of right now, this is my house. Mine's.
Until the season be over.
So I ain't broke. Your man ain't broke. For real, I got loot. I got loot. I got loot. I got loot. Give me the loot. Give me the loot. Give me the loot. Give me the loot.
What?
Money hungry.
I'm money hungry.
Yeah, money hungry.
How am I
Oh, God, here we go.
How? How do you want to know I'm really hungry?
When you want stability, that's
what I said.
I'm just having you go in there.
You want stability.
How? No! Everybody shut the up!
Okay, well, that's a classy show. It's a great show.
Do they? I mean, how stupid are those women? You think he's really making that much money from, like, Public Enemy royalties?
Well, the one thing is I'm happy is that the house is his. Or as he says, it's mine's.
No, he says, this is my house.
And he goes, it's mine's.
Mine's.
Oh. Oh, it's mine's.
Mine's.
Well, it's plural. There's many Flavor Flavs.
Do you think that he's as loaded as Uwe Boll? Like, is Uwe Boll a rich guy, you think?
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely...
Uwe Boll's a rich man, too. Baby, you're a rich man. Sorry.
Okay, now this week on The Bachelor, what was great is one of the contestants decided she might be destined to go home, right? So she decided to get drunk and pull open her blouse and show the English chap her breasts. Her bosoms. Let's see what happens.
Hey, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, and I think it worked on him.
If I get sent home tonight, that would be horrible. And I'm not going to sit around like some girl that never gets roses, never gets anything. Like, please pick me, Matt. You know what? No, it's Vernon! I have very large breasts.
I was in the middle of a conversation with Kelly, and she just shocked me. It was like, Kelly, what are you doing?
She whipped out her chesticles.
Oh, steady. I feel like the stuffy Brit around you.
Is that a bad feeling?
Yeah, I just feel like I don't want to be the stuffy Brit around you.
You don't have to be. I think that we just need more time together.
I want to be more of a man whore.
Try to meet another girl like me. Whatever, you won't.
She's got a great rack.
Yeah.
I want to hang my testicles out my zipper and show them to everyone.
I'm a crazy Brit, everyone. Look at me. They're like, oh my God.
Look, it's my wanker.
My wanker. Bill, there's this great show that premiered this week, and I'm really excited about it. It's called Secret Talents to the Stars. And it has George Takei on it. It's great. I can't wait to see what the season has to unfold. But let's check this out.
Jason?
Yeah.
It was canceled.
Do what?
The show was canceled.
There's only been one episode of it, though.
Yeah, it was canceled.
But I was excited.
You're going to have to check that excitement, because it is no more. That's what happens when you put George Takei on the first episode.
But that was my show.
Mine's.
That was mine's.
It was yours.
It was mine's. All right, well, let's check out this one episode that there will ever be with George Takei singing.
My love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
That's not George Takei, that's Willie Nelson.
Man, he rocks.
My love is making music with my friends, I can't wait to get on the road again.
I can't wait for that clip ends.
You know, I guess as country and western styles go, that's sort of the Brokeback Mountain version of it. And that's
you even goofed up your own lame joke.
It was
I love that you said it wrong.
You know, it's your voice that I think kind of sucked. And I think that...
Ooh.
I
mean,
I think if you're going to continue on in this competition, you're going to have to find a way to kind of de-suckify your voice.
Well,
de-suckify.
This is my public coming out of my shower stall, so be kind.
Gay, good.
He makes a bad gay joke about Brokeback Mountain, and I love
that. Who was that idiot? He was a producer of movies, and they weren't particularly good.
I have no idea. I think he produces Uwe Boll movies, maybe?
Oh, well, then Uwe that would be the right answer.
Now, Bill,
and poor Debbie Reynolds is sitting there like a deer in headlights.
It was a train wreck the whole show. I thought that George Takei, who seems like a genuinely really nice guy, doesn't he? Just a down-to-earth guy. And the guy was insulting him, and he was just, like, laughing along with it, you know. I don't even know if he knew that the guy was insulting him.
No, he knows. He's just... Well, I mean, he's the announcer on Howard's show every once in a while. He knows how to roll with the punches.
Sucked.
Yeah, he just goes along with it. He's a straight man, I guess. No, but he's gay. Wait, what am I talking about?
He's a gay straight man.
Exactly.
Now, he's a straight gay man?
My wife always asks me, she goes, why don't you guys talk about sitcoms that you like The Office or whatever? And I don't know, like a long time ago when we first started the show, we'd talk about Earl every week. And after a while, I mean, what is there to say other than this was funny? It was a great show.
Yeah, it's like, how are we going to talk about How I Met Your Mother? You go, oh, that was really funny when he...
Yeah, yeah, Barney. Oh. Barney is quite the card. He's a great straight man. Oh wait, no, he's gay.
He's a
straight gay man playing a straight. Yes, exactly. But week,
not a gay straight man.
The Office came back this week, Bill, and it was one of those uncomfortable episodes.
Oh my God, was it ever!
But it had this moment that I thought was so funny where basically Michael tricks Jim and Pam into coming over for a dinner party. And he goes, well, I finally got myself a plasma. Check it out. And it's this little tiny, like, I don't know what the hell is it.
Like 13 inches.
Yeah, 13-inch monitor.
And like, it's on a wall mount.
On his wall. And I love later on when he gets in a fight with Jan and she basically breaks it, throws a bottle at it. Just let's just take this out. I love his line about the plasma.
Man, I would love to burn your candles.
You burn it, you buy it.
Oh, good. I'll be your first customer.
But you're hardly my first.
That's what she said. That is a $200 plasma screen TV, you just killed. Good luck paying me back on your $0 a year salary plus benefits, babe.
I love it. He's like, that's a $200 plasma.
That was really funny.
You know, did you catch that? Jan goes, this is my CD, and she puts it on, and thinking about how you took me and you kind of taught me things that night. You took my hand, yeah. Brought me into bed. It's kind of like, did he write the song for who slept with him? That's what it sounds like.
Really, really creepy.
And she's doing like this sexy dance for everyone. Oh God, I love that show. It's great. Now, Bill,
like Jodie Foster in front of the jukebox. I mean,
yeah, it was so creepy. She was pulling Jim's hand like to dance with her, and he was like just sitting still, like, no, I'm not moving. And he even says, "Yeah, my landlord called. My apartment's flooding. I really gotta go."
There were some really good moments in the show this week.
You know, you've gotten me into the show Top Chef on Bravo. And for people who think it's like Hell's Kitchen, it's nothing like Hell's Kitchen.
It's the polar opposite of Hell's Kitchen.
Because it's about cooking. It's about the food. They give you a task to do, like for a banquet of people who work at a zoo, zoo people. And it's based on the diets of the animals. Like, one team is a penguin. They have to prepare meals based on a penguin's diet, a bear's diet, a lion's diet. And I thought that was really cool. And it shows how they break into teams of three, I think. And they each have to come up with a unique dish. It shows how they all work together. Sometimes they don't work together at all. But I think it's a really cool show if you're into food. Because I got to tell you, I say I like food, Bill, and I do, and I eat lots of food.
You have a love affair with food.
But there's so much I don't know about food, it's sad. They'll name dishes on here, and I'm like, what the hell is that? I've never heard of that. You know?
Well, it makes you want to learn more about it.
It makes you want to
expand your horizons of food.
Well, I was like, you know what I love about the show? I even told my wife, I was like, you got to watch this with me because she thinks the same thing I do. Like, oh, I'm not watching Bravo, this crappy reality show. But I'm like, it's not like that. Let's check it out. You'll like it. It's about cooking. And then what happens? The episode I show her, all of a sudden, it's like Flava Flav or something. Let's check it out. What the hell?
And I said I would do Sue.
No way.
I didn't say that?
No way.
It's on film.
No way.
It's on
no
film,
way.
Sweetheart.
No
you're
way.
Just putting your teammate in the ground.
So what?
Yeah, so what?
That's weak.
They really need to why do they bleep and then blank out?
I'm
also.
Sure you would like to see
can
me
you just say that's weak sauce?
I think so.
Cry over all night long, okay? That was not the person
bullshit.
To
so by saying it over and over again is going to make
you get to bitch and whine about everything
deal about. I don't say the 1 minute I say about something.
Is he stuttering? What's
that's bull.
Oh my
God. It's mine.
So basically, I told my wife was looking at me like, I thought you said this isn't one of the shows. I was like, it wasn't until now. I don't know what just happened. They've got angry lesbians.
Mine.
So
angry lesbians are his.
Yeah, those are mine's angry lesbians.
Mine.
Exactly. So basically, what happened is they had to make this dish, and one guy, Spike, who wears a fedora, who thinks he's kayfed, said, I want to make some kind of squash soup. And the other chick was like,
it was
no.
The earth. They had to be earth for some banquet.
The other chick refused, so he went along with her. They lost, and one of the chicks got fired, who was the lesbian lover of another contestant.
Oh, it's so complicated.
Yes, but it's a good show. The one thing that I did like is they do these quick-fire tasks at the beginning where someone earns immunity, and they did the palate test, which is they feed you expensive butter, cheap butter, expensive wine, expensive biscuits, cheap biscuits, like Pillsbury, I don't know.
Yeah, and you actually have to have a palate to notice it, whereas on, like, Hell's Kitchen, they just give them pork, and they're like, that's chicken.
Yeah, none of them like, that's hot dog. No, that's pate or something like that. But you can see how some people do have a, you know, who is that chef, the Asian chef? He said, it takes time. Sometimes it takes years, but you develop a palate. And that is very important to your life as a chef because you have to taste the food before you put it out. And when you do, you know that it's good and you can trust that. But there's so many people who are like, they just have a bad palate. I'm pretty sure that I couldn't tell. I could eat, you know,
get maybe like 5 out of the 12.
Right.
But when it comes to hot dogs, they're slamming.
Hot dogs are slamming. You know, I could probably pick butter because I would just pick the one I'm used to the taste and say that's the cheap one. You know? Well, yeah,
you know what? With butter, you almost have to, like real good butter, it's almost cheese-like.
Right. I would just say that this is the one I'm used to. It's the cheap one. This is, I can't believe it's not butter.
This is Land O'Lakes.
Yeah.
Hot dogs are slamming.
Yes, they are. Okay, well, now, Bill, this week, guess who is finally evicted from Big Brother?
By a vote of 3-0, James, you are evicted from the Big Brother house.
Yay!
You seem relieved, happy to be kicked out. What gives?
Oh, I do not like my house guests. I've been wanting to leave since I got back in the house. It was a great opportunity to go back in the house, but, you know, it's part of the game. You just learn to hate these people.
So a lot of people were sad because he's the only one playing the game, supposedly. But it's the same thing, kind of similar thing with Evil Dick last season. Okay, yeah, okay, they're playing the game or whatever. But there's so many things I disagree with about this person. You can say whatever you think, like, I don't agree with you, you lie or whatever. No, it's not that. It's the whole getting naked thing all the time. Like, look at me, I'm naked. That upsets you, doesn't it? You're all uptight. Because you don't want to look at my penis. No, I'm not uptight. I don't want to look at your sack, dude.
Yeah, I don't want to look. It's not your penis. It's your sack.
Yeah, I don't want to look at your... This guy's got the worst tattoos I've ever seen on a person.
Oh, my God. Doesn't he? He had to be high when he got to...
Yeah, those aren't mine tattoos.
The bow tie and... We haven't even been able to see half of them because they've had to blur them out because they're offensive.
Well, the guy's even talked about, like... you know, how he doesn't respect property. He doesn't care about personal possessions. And these people sicken him because they're talking about things they're going to get with the money. Like, I'm sorry, dude, but you're young. You will definitely change. Like, he's riding across America.
A 20-year-old idealist. It doesn't last.
Yeah. I mean, you may want to smash that plasma, but you're going to have to pay for it, all right, in the real world.
That is a $200 plasma screen TV you just killed!
$200. But anyway, I'm glad he's gone. I know some people, he was the only one playing the game. No, give me a break. No, they're all playing the game.
He was an asshole. He spent the entire day before the eviction just walking around naked to annoy people. And it was ridiculous. It's like it's such a childish thing to do. That's what he had to
– He was like a little pest.
Make him uncomfortable.
They showed how he was terrorizing Sheila with his practical jokes, dumping like flour on her and stuff. And he goes around talking about how the women have gained weight. They're fat. Like, he used to do it to Chelsea even. Like, you've gained so much weight. You can't even go home looking like that, honey. Look how much weight you've gained. And now he started doing it to Natalie, too. And she was like, don't even do that crap you did to Chelsea, okay?
So, he's a dick.
Yeah, I'm glad he's gone. Let's go ahead and talk about Hell's Kitchen, Bill.
All right.
And I feel bad about doing this without Steven. But what are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
I could call Steven now, but I think I'll wait to call him during the BSG segment. What do you say?
Okay,
this week on Hell's Kitchen, there was this guy named Petroza.
Petroza!
He's like the older guy, and last week none of the men knew the menu, or even the desserts, wasn't it?
No, there was any of it. They didn't know any of it.
Yeah, they just kind of stood there. And of course, Hell's Kitchen will be sure and replay the scene for us several times.
Yes.
But first, before that, they did a, what was the halibut?
Yes, it was halibut. It was gigantic friggin' halibut.
I've never seen halibut that big before. What the
No,
hell?
That's what they are. That's how big they are.
I mean, I didn't know that halibut was that big.
Yes, they are enormous fish.
And you had to cut them the perfect size or whatever. And the women...
6 ounces.
And they made sure it was a woman... Women versus men. And they had to get the perfect pieces in like 61 or something. They ended up tying... For the first time ever on Hell's Kitchen, the men team and the women team have tied.
Like it's some big deal.
Like, oh. So,
my God, the whole world is going to end.
They had to pick the perfect fillet, as Gordon Ramsay calls it. The perfect fillet.
Proper English, the perfect fillet.
Yeah, lovely color with a U, colors with a U.
Yeah, everything's got a U in it.
Yeah, so anyway, the men win that one. And they get to go out on a yacht. One thing.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's so awkward.
I know. The one thing that there's the big kind of black chick. And, you know, I'm not racist or anything like that, Bill. But she gets on my nerves.
Annoying.
She was like, this is my kitchen. This is my house.
My house. These mines.
Mines.
This is mines. This is mines, halibuts. So,
they must, like, go to, like, the stereotypical casting agency to find these people.
Yeah, she thinks she's a genius, basically.
I'm the only genius in the whole fucking business.
Oh, okay, Uva, with your potty mouth. No, this black chick is. And you know what? Between Top Chef and Hell's Kitchen and all these, I don't know anyone's names on these shows, okay?
There's no reason. It really isn't.
I do know Petroza's name because...
It's so stupid.
Gordon Ramsay calls him out and he goes, name something on the menu. And here's what happens. Petroza doesn't know shit.
Petroza, you in the storeroom. Do you think we're here for a... What is this? A Comedy Central?
No, sir.
You're now on the verge of making me look stupid now. Do you understand? From the desserts up. What are they?
All right. The Valrhona chocolate and the Valrhona chocolate and black cherry sorbet. There's no black cherry. There's some in the black.
It is a Valrhona chocolate fondant with black cherries.
A fondant. Okay.
Upstairs and start again.
Okay.
Quick, let's go.
Okay.
Can you hurry up?
Yes, sir. Yes, chef. You think that you're strong? You think you're bulletproof? But nah, not here. No, I'm done.
Nah.
I'm done. I'm done. In the words of Chef Ramsay, hey, I'm done.
Oh, poor guy.
I'm done.
Poor
it's okay.
I'm done.
No, come on, put it down.
No, I'm
Chef
done,
Chef Watchy, he's not right out there. It's okay, come on, let's go, get it together. Pull your jacket.
Does he have
come
a
on,
gun? Is that what he's telling him? Put it down?
He's gonna rush. No,
put the gun down, man. Don't kill yourself.
I'm done, man.
No, stay there, you're cool.
No, I'm done.
Chef's spending this much time with
he's
you.
He's done.
Here, wipe your eyes. Here, this is the cleanest thing.
It was so nice of this guy to help him out, wasn't it,
Petroza, you know...
Oh, yeah, he really cared.
For some reason, you know, because he has a genuine heart. You know,
genuine.
Felt him, you know?
He likes you.
I told you last night, he has some strange reason he likes you.
Okay. Right. We are. Fire me. Sing to me.
The grilled filet mignon. The,
fillet, dude.
Lamb.
Say it right.
The,
fillet mignon.
And the pavé of salmon.
Now, get in the kitchen. You're on the meat.
Work my off.
Mines.
Do you like the sarcastic Yeah, you finally got it. And he didn't even call out the other men. I'm sure some of those guys didn't know it either.
Yeah, I mean, he probably has a cheat sheet on his arm.
I would. I mean, what the hell? You prepare. You're going to be on a TV show, and you know how it is every season. I don't get. Like, I'm just
well,
not.
It's like you said earlier in the episode, I've given you 15 recipes. That's all they have is 15. All you got to memorize is 15 recipes. He's got, you know, thousands of them in his head.
Right. He's like,
it's why
really
not that hard.
I don't get it. You know, one thing is there's a part where he calls out the, okay, women, I've got an order for you. And he goes, blah, 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 like that. He calls it out really fast. And I'm like, there's no way I would get that on the first time. We have a clip of that. Play that, Foggy.
On order, ladies, concentrate. First order. Four cabbage, table 41. One risotto, one scallop, two Caesar salad. Entree, one halibut. One chicken, two beef. One beef medium well, one beef normal.
Yes, chef!
Now, if you worked at a restaurant, you'd probably be used to that, right? But what if you're the what if you're the stay-at-home dad who decided to be on Hell's Kitchen? You're screwed, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point. That's why he's doing it.
Four cabbage, table 41. One risotto, one scallop, two Caesar salad. Entree, one halibut. One chicken, two beef. One beef medium well, one beef normal.
Yes, chef!
Do you think that they got any of those?
No.
My favorite one is he picked two people to be the maitre d's with Jean-Philippe. And the chick gave him a thing, and she goes, I got more orders, kind of, I'm holding back because I don't want to overwhelm you. He's like, what? And he's like, how long have these people been waiting? She's like, about 2 hours. He's like, what?
And it's just about the dumbest thing I've ever heard on that show, that she was waiting to give him the orders.
And then the other guy is carrying a chair, and he bonks a person sitting there in the head, and he doesn't notice.
He whacks walking. Her in the head with that thing.
He goes, and she goes, oh, and you see other people react like, oh my God.
Then they replay it in slow motion like three or four times.
It was just like, I want to do a clip of that. And the guy on Dancing with Stars going, my neck, my neck, just over and over again. So Jean-Philippe is like, you bonked that lady in her noggin. Go apologize. And he's like,
nice cockney.
He's like, did I hit you in the head with the chair? She goes, yeah, but it's okay. I'm paid to be here. I'm an actress.
I'm getting airtime. It's okay. Hit me again.
I got my SAG card for that, so it's all right. I love that.
I love the part in the episode, though, whenever they were on the yacht and Jean-Philippe comes up looking like Thurston Howell the Third.
He's got like a neckerchief on or something.
Really good.
And then there's the chick. I don't even know her name, but I think she's the one who's eliminated. She basically, like, sticks her tongue out and wags it as she's doing stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, you look like Hannibal Lecter!
I think the best part had to be the end of the episode, where he chose the girl that was the best, this Corey, and then she comes out with her nominations, and she's like, well, personally, Jen, strategically, and I'm sitting there going, what? What is this? Like, Big Brother?
Yeah, this isn't Big Brother.
Survivor?
I decided I'm going to backdoor the black chick.
I don't like her because she's black.
Mines.
So, and he just kind of looks at her like, okay, no. You know, Sharon, you're gone.
And Petroza was like, I'm done, I'm done. He's like, you're not nominated. You won the power of veto this week.
The power of veto.
No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Hey, I'm done. I'm done.
All right, shut up.
Unbelievable.
Hey, that guy just talks weird. Like, he's like, nah, not here.
Nah, not here.
Not here.
What the hell does that mean?
I'm not sure. But he calls the two. He goes, what are you doing? You look like the Bobby twins over there. Some crap like that. I don't even
know. He sounds like Arnold.
You're both pissing around like a pair of Barbie twins. You're scaring me.
You're scaring me. You know what their problem is? Is they're not their own responsible.
That could be
You are on your own responsible.
Exactly.
They make fillet.
Fillets. Yeah, you got to be your own responsible if you want to make fillets, Bill, in this life, really.
In this industry.
Basically, Hell's Kitchen teaches you how to live your life.
It does. And it's like, I think that's it. I think Gordon Ramsay is a Dr. Phil type.
you don't want to screw up because you get yelled at. That's basically what the lesson of life is.
It's like elementary school again.
You know, one thing about the Kitchen Nightmares show, he actually takes the time to listen to your problems. He really does. And he would help them fix a restaurant. I think on this show, which is different, is they're going to be working for him in his restaurant.
Yeah.
Which I really don't understand at all why he would want these people to work in his restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely not. And but again, they would be executive chefs, which are basically managers of the kitchen.
When,
they don't really do any of the cooking or anything. They just manage everything.
Can I tell you my idea is for him to take the chefs from the season of Kitchen Nightmares and have them compete on Hell's Kitchen the following season. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome.
I would love this guy.
Diamonds on my fish, good. Diamonds on my fish. Diamonds on my fish, good. Diamonds on my fish. Diamonds on my fish. Diamonds on my fish. We got diamonds on the fish.
Exactly. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be terrific.
On that note, Bill, let's take us a break, and we'll be right back, everybody. What do you say, Bill? And we'll call
Steve.
Let's
do it.
Talk Radio X.
To the tablet.
Hey, you say you're getting tired of lettuce and tomato hamburgers in this town that don't quite make it?
Yeah!
You say that just once you'd like your hamburger hot and your lettuce and tomato cool and crisp all at the same time?
Yeah!
Well, I say, you got it. I'm talking McDonald's new lettuce and tomato hamburger, the McDLT.
I'm talking quarter pound of beef on the hot, hot side.
And the hot stays hot.
The new McDLT.
Hot, hot.
Crisp lettuce and tomato on the cool, cool side.
And the cool stays cool.
The new McDLT.
Cool crisp.
The beef stays hot. The cool stays crisp. Put it together, you can't resist. The hottest taste. The coolest dish.
Keep it hot, hot.
Keep it cool, cool.
McDLT. McDLT. Hot beefy McD. Cool crisp LT. McD. LT.
It's a good time.
Hot beefy McD.
For the great taste.
Cool crisp LT.
Of McDonald's.
Could be the best tasting lettuce and tomato hamburger ever.
New McD.
There's a new student in town, and Weaver High will never be the same again.
I'm telling you, this new guy is supposed to be a total psycho. I heard he broke another kid's neck at his last school.
Then he got kicked off the football team for throwing a knife on a coach.
And all the coach did was grab him, and the guy goes nuts.
And this guy's supposed to be coming to our school.
What's this guy's name anyway?
Buddy Ravel.
You want to do an article about this guy for the paper?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe we do one of those new student profiles, you know?
I'm Jerry Mitchell. I'm with the school paper, the Titan.
You didn't touch him, did you, Jerry? He doesn't like to be touched by anybody.
Well, this isn't good, Jerry. This is not good. We're gonna have a fight today after school. 3 o'clock in the parking lot.
You see, you bet on how many stitches it's going to take to fix Jerry's face.
His body spewed blood in all directions.
The fight is on. You and me in the parking lot, 3 o'clock.
Can Jerry Mitchell call off the high school fight of the century? If not, does he stand a chance? Everybody finds out at 3 o'clock high.
Ours, as you know, is not a perfect world. May I? That's why it's so refreshing when something really perfect comes along. Like Diet Coke. Tastes great straight. Or on the rocks. Yet it's just one calorie. That's why Diet Coke is the perfect soft drink. For an imperfect world.
Just for the taste of it.
Diet Coke.
Eddie Murphy is back, but this time, he's looking for a missing child, a golden child.
This child is special, Mr. Giraud. His destiny is to save the world.
And it's your destiny to seek some serious psychiatric help.
Okay, man, you boys, a couple of questions.
By the time he finds you, it will be too late.
Hey, hey, hey!
In my pocket, it's a whole thing of Tic Tacs. Take as many as you like, please.
I could destroy you just like that.
Just like that. Mwah, you're wonderful. Nobody be alarmed. I'm Ma'am Chandler, General American Stolen Artifacts Finders of America.
He's irresponsible.
A bed?
Is that a bed? He is a careless, thoughtless, undisciplined fool.
I should be punished. I should be purged. I should be flogged.
You are the chosen one. You will find a child.
Well, I do my best.
I'm still afraid of the dark, too. I really don't like your attitude.
You know, this is a nice jacket. It's a Morris Day feel, and it looks good on you. And the boots, smoking.
He's got a firm grip on reality. Where he's going, he'll need it.
How'd you do that? What was that with the flip?
You must carry this glass of water without spilling a drop.
Who are you, Monty Hall now? This is a piece of cake!
Eddie Murphy is the chosen one.
Well, how many people have survived this test?
None.
None!
The golden child.
None!
That's gonna be the worst trailer I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's bad.
You have me some fun.
Hello?
Hello, is this Steven?
Yes.
You're on Nowhere and Mulberry. I am Uberball. Hey, Steven, how you doing? Have you been listening to the show?
Yes, I was taking my break at the same time you guys were.
Nice.
Uberball.
Have you been listening to us live on Talk Radio X?
That's how I knew you were taking your break.
Nice. How do we sound? How's the sound quality, Steven, in Portland?
And I'm also in the chat room chatting with everyone. Hey, guys.
Hey.
It was really me in the chat room.
Wow. They were like, this is some imposter. There's no way this is PC. They didn't really believe it was you?
No, they gave me a test with the Knights of Rebs song, you know, joined in the chant. Force is machine.
Now, Steven, quickly explain to us why you're not here.
Oh, this is that new, my new job, if you know, with the same company, but they flew us out here and they scheduled us from Sunday to Saturday, a nice 7-day work week, which, you know, I always love.
Oh, I thought you couldn't get a flight.
Well, no, it's not just that. You know, my original flight was scheduled for Saturday morning.
Scheduled,
please. And but we got finished. We were finished yesterday, so we had nothing to do today. We tried to get, you know, trying to get flights home with American Airlines canceling 1,000 flights.
Oh, it's
not happening. You are going nowhere.
American Airlines is in chaos this week. Am I right?
Yeah, everything was, I mean, I looked online, it's like everything from AM to PM was sold out with my airline that I'm coming home on.
So you're just stuck there.
So I was stuck here in Portland.
Not yet.
So we made the best of it. We took a little day trip down to the coast and checked out some tidal ponds and stuff on the ocean.
Now, Bill, what was that place you were telling me about that I should tell Steven about?
I can't remember.
It's some kind of book place?
Oh, Powell's. Yeah, Powell's City of Books. It, like, takes up entire block.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like four stories.
Oh, did you check it out already?
We were downtown, and we went by it. We were at the haunted...
That doesn't count.
Pizzeria. There was a pizza joint that's supposed to be haunted here, so... And, of course, I have to go check that out.
Is it called the Haunted Pizzeria?
No, it's not. I can tell you what it's called. It's like the City Pizza or something.
Oh, okay. You told me you're going to the Haunted Pizzeria, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting name for a pizza place.
it's the sister of the Disney's Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, because I've been to the haunted Chuck E. Cheese before, which is very frightening.
Yeah, it's just a regular, I mean, it's a, I say regular. It's just
you never know when that disembodied king voice will
come out. The one thing you should know, Stephen, is you are your own responsible, okay?
I am what?
you are on your own responsible that you don't...
Oh, I am on my own responsible, yes.
Now, okay, let's talk about...
I don't understand unless it comes from Uwe.
Yeah, Uwe Boll. He is... I can't wait to read his book.
He's a freaking genius is what Uwe he is. Boy.
I know, that's why I didn't understand it unless it came from his lips, because it was genius.
The guy's a genius. That's all I have to say. Okay?
Andy knows.
Cry over it all night long, okay?
Okay, Steven, Battlestar Galactica.
But I saw no ghosts.
Oh, okay. We're moving on now, Steven. Battlestar Galactica. Did you watch
Beautiful.
It?
Beautiful. Battlestar.
It's back. One thing I got to say, Bill, is I watched it in high definition, which is a welcome change. Thank you.
Oh, isn't it?
Because sci-fi has always looked kind of washed out and
gray. The worst standard def channel on any cable system.
But I got to say, the HD looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looked nice.
That opening space battle looked kick-ass.
That was awesome.
It looks like they have even upped the budget on the effects. They look improved, even.
Well, I don't know if they've upped the budget or they've just gotten better.
Yeah, they've gotten better. It almost looked like, okay, last season, PS1, this season, PS2. Or no, should I say PS2 last season, PS3 this season?
Three.
Is the way it seemed to me.
Looked better than episode 1 and, like, fake Yoda.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Bill.
Or no, wait, that was puppet Yoda.
Yeah.
In episode 1.
Yeah, oh, actually, they improved with CGI Yoda.
Yeah, they did. That was a bad Yoda.
Hey, he's younger Yoda. Let's give him more hair. No, don't think so. Does not work.
No. Don't rubber. Don't fake rubberize him with the CGI.
So I wondered how they were going to do the thing with Starbuck, but they did a good job of having her not remember anything, which explains away everything. I mean,
and, what do you mean not
nice
remember?
Brand new,
well, she remembers
brand new
is she doesn't know that she's been gone this whole time. She thinks she's been gone 6 hours.
It was like the contact answer.
Yeah, exactly. It's like contact. And her ship was brand new. There's all sorts of crazy stuff going there. Okay, I want to talk about the guy's Baltar stuff with these weird...
Holy shit, that was nutty.
These religious weird people, and all of a sudden he looks like Jesus. He's there. And I was wondering, is he going to heal the boy? But he prays. And I really enjoyed that scene where he's praying to God to take his life instead of the boy's. He's a horrible person. Why not let this kid live out his life? That was a really good scene. And
it was, but you know what? You can't. His character is so vile that he could. I didn't see that he really meant it. You know, it was just kind of standard. Well, like he almost knew they were watching him. They could hear him.
I don't know. I mean, that's possible. I almost felt like it was genuine to me because he'd been through so much with the trial. He realized he's a scumbag. I don't know. But the scene that I liked is when he's shaving and those guys are going to jack them. The guy's going to slit his throat, and Six says, "Did you really mean it? If you did, then this guy's going to take your life." And he tells him, "Go ahead, kill me." And I like the chick just beating ass. She's like, "God gave me the power to smite them."
Smite them.
I love
best
that.
Best line in the show.
I will smite
them. Anytime anyone uses smite, it's good.
That was excellent. And there's the stuff going on where the final four, not the five, because they don't know who the fifth one is, but they're kind of meeting, and they're like, what's going on here? And there's a great part with Anders where the Cylon scans him, and his eye lights up, and they do a full retreat. What the hell was all that about?
Yeah, that was intense. What about the daydream?
Like, who gave the orders? What did it come unknowingly from him? When they scanned him, you know, it's like sent that order
they
back.
Scanned him and knew that they were with the fleet. They were there, so they wouldn't have took down the ship.
Right, and they kind of give us a scenes to next week where I believe the Cylons who are humans, you know, the models that we already know about, they're not sure. Like she even said, Six said, I'm programmed not to think about them. So obviously there's something going on that even they don't know because they're programmed not to know about it. You know what
I have to go back to the beginning of the show with the the Daydream that I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, yeah, with Colonel Ty.
Colonel Ty. I kept thinking of Tyrol, and I couldn't think of it. But, yeah, that was intense.
He caps him right in the eye.
Well, that was obvious, you know, eye for an eye sort of thing.
They just got done watching Superman Returns, and they wanted to see it really happen.
Yeah. Except it didn't work quite right in it.
But I love that. And then everything snaps back, and he's kind of out of it. He's like...
Yeah, and then whenever after he meets with him in his office, he leaves the gun.
Right.
He was like, yeah, I'm going back to the bridge. He left his gun on his
desk. He doesn't trust himself.
No. That's got to be tough.
I know.
You know, to know you are a Cylon, but to have this entire history.
And I love how they talk about it. It's like... Baltar's fracking machine didn't work. He couldn't even tell Boomer was a Cylon. So it's like, yeah, he's got a point there. They referenced that back in season one that Gaius came up with that Cylon detector, and that's a bunch of crap. And
I thought
actually,
he could, and he hid that fact.
Right, it did work, but he hid it. But how would they know it? They just go by what Gaius told them.
He was too busy trying to demolish the computer that was going to reveal that he was the one that set up the attack.
Right, okay.
Baltar might know who all the Cylons are.
Do what?
He's done all the tests. So Baltar might know who all the Cylons are.
No.
He has no idea. He just saw Boomer and he lied about it from then. Because he didn't want to endanger his life, remember? But anyway,
Didn't he think he was one for a while?
Yeah. So anyway...
I mean, that was...
Back to this episode that they don't believe that Starbuck is Starbuck. They're not sure. They don't know what's going on. And I really like the scene where Apollo says to his dad, what if it was Zack who came back? Would you really care? Because it would essentially be him, except he'd be a Cylon. And basically saying that he seems so much like himself, you would love that you could see him again. It wouldn't even matter if it's a Cylon. He's just so happy to see Starbuck.
But see, I thought that argument was kind of nil because... He knows that they don't know.
Yeah, they don't know
if Kara's a Cylon. Whereas with that's just kind of it's a bad example.
Right. I knew what he was saying, that he was so happy to see her.
Yeah, totally. I just thought it was a bad example.
If he were to see his brother, he would love to see his brother one last time, kind of a thing. I don't know, but I think it's funny how Starbuck has these two guards guarding her the whole time, but as soon as she wants to break away, she could just beat their asses.
Yeah, and then that last scene, the cliffhanger, I was watching it, and I was like, oh, man, I need to get onto the computer and watch the streaming episode today. And then I didn't know that they only streamed it live at noon.
Oh, and it's a specific time?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I was all pissed off.
Yeah, because did you know this, Steven, that Sci-Fi will stream the Friday's episode during the day once. No rewinding, no fast-forwarding. It just plays, and then it's over.
But, it's okay. I got to watch this one this week.
Do what?
I saw the episode while in the first half of the show, so I already know what happened this week.
Give me a break. Get out of here. I'm hanging up on you. Damn it.
But yeah, the show's back in form. That was great. That was a really good episode.
You're done, Steven.
No, I'm done.
Hey.
I'm done. I'm done.
I'm done. Stick a fork in me.
I'm done.
Yes, you are. But yes, I'm so glad the show's back. It was just, you know, kind of a setup for a continuing thing like Starbuck, knowing that they're going farther and further the wrong way from Earth. And I like in the clip next week where she's yelling, "You're going the wrong way." That's interesting. Remind me of Plane, Trains, and Automobiles. So, you're going the wrong way. How would they know where we're going? Drinky, drinky. I love that. All right. Well, Steven, Battlestar Galactica, we took it. You guys want to take some calls? 818-935-5132 if anyone wants to talk about Battlestar Galactica. And we could do the news. Steven, do you want to stay with us? Or do you want to
hang on?
You can hang on until your connection's bad, and then we'll hang up on you. How about that?
Yes, exactly, until something happens.
Whoa, your connection got better all of a sudden, didn't it, Bill?
I know. It's really weird. It keeps dropping in and out.
Does it?
Are you?
Yeah, I guess it's just because I'm near the window.
Are you pacing, Steven? Yeah, stay near the window. Just curl up on the windowsill and sip some Java.
Feel that northwest air.
It's a little chilly. It was a little chilly.
Why you get
not
off
too bad.
On me like crazy?
Huh? All right, Bill, let's do the news. Yes, Bill, this is your news, okay?
Yes.
Mines.
It's yours' news.
Now, before I get into, like, the news, do you want to talk about this little article we saw on that Kezins.com about the 7 greatest video game urban legends?
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting because I actually believe some of those urban legends.
Well, it's funny. The first one is the Tomb Raider one about how you could appear as a nude Lara Croft in the original Tomb Raider game on the PS1.
Right. I'm not sure I ever believe that. And plus, the graphics were so blocky, that would be hilarious if it was true.
I remember hearing the thing, though. Like, if you go in the water and you go to a certain angle, you'll see you're nude. But, yeah, and I remember it was even – the rumor was so bad that eventually when Tomb Raider came out for the PC – they hacked a patch where it made her nude throughout the game. They called it Nude Raider.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do remember. Maybe that's what I heard.
I mean, that's just really – that's kind of pathetic.
It's really sad, yeah. It's like, what?
The second urban legend was if you play through Street Fighter II on the Super Nintendo and you beat every – character without dying, you would get to play as one of the bosses. Like, you could play as Balrog and Vega and M. Bison and Saget, Bob Saget.
Yeah, I love Bob Saget.
I never heard that one. I never even tried.
You know, I couldn't have done it even if I wanted to. Because I had fun playing Street Fighter against other people, but if I was playing against the computer, as they say, I would get my ass handed to me repeatedly.
Yeah, I could never. I guess my mind just wasn't quick enough. I always envied the people. Like, when I would go to the arcade, there would be those people that knew those moves by heart, like the special moves,
or
and they would just
tear
it up.
Yeah,
well,
I
that was easy.
It.
That was like the diagonal on the. You just had to go, like, down and then to the right
I couldn't get past Sagat, I believe. Wasn't he the big, tall dude, bald dude? Sagat.
Yes, yes,
the metal
that was.
Head or something.
Yeah. The next urban legend was that Saddam Hussein purchased 4,000 PS2s to create a supercomputer.
I remember reading this, Bill. I remember this.
And it was to launch missiles.
So that was hilarious. That was a totally made up story. It was fake.
That was totally made up.
Wow, I believed it. I thought it was ridiculous and stupid of them to think they could do something with the PS2s, but I believed that it happened.
Well, I know they can do it with PS3s. I've seen those, but the PS2s, they say it would have to be really complicated to get all that to work together.
You can also play Blu-rays on PS3s.
Yes. My favorite urban legend is the Super Mario Brothers one where you could jump over the flagpole at the end of the level.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember as a kid trying that for hours, and eventually we'd just give up, or somebody would lie and say, oh, I did it.
It is true. There's always that dude at school or whatever is like, yeah, I did it last night, and they just totally lying through their teeth. That so happens.
Yeah, that's. There's one. I remember this one, and it wasn't really as much an urban legend. It was a Legend of Zelda in a dungeon level. There's a level that looks like a swastika.
Right.
But it's not a swastika. It's a manji, which is a Buddhist symbol of good fortune.
Oh, but people see it and they're like, that looks like a swastika. I'm offended.
Yeah. Well, people are always just looking for something.
Yeah.
Overboard.
The next one is on Mortal Kombat for the Super Nintendo. You remember they took out the blood and put in like a gray sweat?
Right.
Well, there was a rumor that there was a blood code for the Super Nintendo version that was completely false.
You know, I think I believe that one too.
What pissed me off about the whole Mortal Kombat thing was the Super Nintendo version looked the best. You know, it played the best, but they changed it a lot. They, like, took out blood. They changed some finishing moves so they wouldn't be as gruesome and all that.
Yeah, why
but
even
the
bother?
Genesis version had everything. It was closest to the arcade.
But it
looked like shit.
Yeah, it was real grainy and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
Well, that's that.
That's
that super-duper blast processing that the Genesis had.
Awesome. I did love the altered beast, though.
Wise from your ways.
Yeah.
Now, this one, I've never heard this this urban legend before, but it sounds cool. There's this arcade game called Polybius or Polybius or something. Yeah, I don't know even how to... Polybius?
Polybius or something?
Yeah, it was... speaking of Portland... it was a game that supposedly it was a government-run arcade cabinet that was used to collect data. Once played, this game would cause seizures, memory loss, and people were brainwashed. Almost sounds like a Last Starfighter.
It sounds like something from Lost or something. Like,
yeah.
Polybius would be in the lounge or something.
There was the game was out for a very short trial run for 1 month in small arcades in Portland, Oregon in 1981. Produced by a company, Sinislotion.
Yeah, the name sounds weird.
Yeah, the game gave many players nightmares and many who completely swore off all video games afterwards. Others complained of having blackouts and memory loss. What it really kind of sounds like is that it had it was like a vector thing. It was like a 3D rotating puzzle, and I think as the game got harder, it started flashing like strobe like, and it probably screwed with people's heads, all that flashing.
Now let me ask you this. The article says these are urban myths, so what part of this is an urban myth? That it never existed? Or
no, I think that it was a government run arcade cabinet.
Oh, that people are like, no, that thing will brainwash you.
No, it was just a really screwed up, badly designed game
that would cause an epileptic
people
seizure.
Headaches and
yeah.
Yeah, it'd give
it
you, an,
puts you into an epileptic seizure.
Wow.
Man, that game's government run.
That is a $200 plasma screen TV you just killed.
All right, now you
it's
sent me this story.
Has something to do with it.
You sent me this story this week, Jason, and I couldn't help but print it out. This, talk about taking a piss. You know, this newspaper. I don't know who it is, that this Marcus K. Garner at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he is an asshole for even writing this up. He knew what he was doing. Here's the story. I'll read it word for word. A coming man is accused of exposing himself to a child playing at an Alpharetta park, police said. Mark Brandon Wakeford, 50, was arrested on March 26th for child molestation and public indecency. On March 22nd, Alpharetta police got a report of an undressed man sitting in his car, touching himself out the Alpharetta North Park. Wakeford allegedly made eye contact with a 9-year-old girl, then opened his car to expose himself to her. Little girl told her parents all that stuff. But what's killing me is the headline and the first line.
Right.
A coming man arrested for public indecency.
Wow.
Come on.
Where was the town called Cumming or something?
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly, where he lived. Maybe, or, I don't know, but they could have said a Cumming area man or an Atlanta area man. You didn't have to put a Cumming man.
So
come on, douchebag.
The reporter was cracking himself up, basically.
Oh, yeah, he's sitting there going, oh, this is so cool, I'm so going to get this through.
Wow.
Asshole. All right, next story. This guy is an idiot.
Right. So what do you want
a
now?
Man, A man who broke his girlfriend's leg at her own request and had it filmed on a mobile phone in a bid to sue Plymouth City Council has been jailed for 3 years. David Gittens, prosecuting, said that Thompson claimed the injury had been caused by a small garden wall falling on Miss Hingston, 27, at his council home. The incident came to light on November 24, 2006, when police officers executed a drug warrant at the defendant's home, seized a mobile phone, which they examined for evidence of drug offenses. It was then they found the film Thompson jumping on his girlfriend's leg.
Dick.
So
that's messed up.
Yeah. So she, I guess she was all high on alcohol and Valium to get past this, but it's still really, really dumb.
Oh my god!
The girl ended up having to go through like 6 months of rehab.
Why was the guy doing that? Because he thought it was funny and he was on dope or something? Or
no, because she requested that he do it so she could sue the city.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, they wanted to sue the city council for money. So they did this for money, and then they goofed up and police found it.
Do you guys understand that, or do I need to explain more?
Yeah, for people that are listening and want to see this, you got to look up this story just for the mugshot of this chick. The mom brings the story is a mom brings baby along to candy store robbery. Local mother is in trouble after police say she brought her baby along when she broke into a downtown Cincinnati candy store early this morning. Officers believe the 19-year-old Kristen Ruther and three others broke a window to get inside Minga's candy store on Court Street in downtown Cincinnati around 1 a.m. Police say Ruther and took her baby out of a stroller so they could fill it with $400 worth of candy.
Wow, that's classy.
Yeah. Officers followed a trail of candy wrappers to 4th and Race Streets, where they arrested Ruther along with...
They followed the candy wrappers?
Yeah. Along with 19-year-old Rebecca Gamble, 18-year-old Terrence Ware, and 22-year-old Dwight Reed, Ruther was charged with breaking and entering and child endangering. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Man, I could go for some candy. Let's break in.
Child, Bella!
Why didn't they put the wrappers in their pockets?
They were on a major binge, man. They like had
oh
a sweet
man,
tooth.
They were expecting the wind to blow it away or something.
Oh bullshit!
They're just litter bugs. They're thieves. They don't care.
Yeah, not only are they thieves, horrible parents. They're also litter bugs, bastards.
Next news story is in Chippewa, New York, Lawrence Waterhouse III pulled out all the stops and all the candles when he proposed marriage to his girlfriend in the gazebo outside his suburban home. He had set it up very nicely, says Chippewa Fire Chief Andy Metz. He had candles in the trees, candles and dogwood petals along the path, a chandelier with votive candles. The girlfriend apparently said yes to the romantic Wednesday night proposal, and the couple left town early Thursday for the trip out west. Unfortunately, at least one of the candles apparently stayed lit. We got a call about 7:15 this morning. I got there 5 minutes later, and the gazebo was fully engulfed in flames.
Oh, crap.
They tracked down the guy at a New York airport, told him about the fire, and advised him to continue with his trip. They would handle the event when he got back. But,
he was so in love, he just didn't pay attention.
Was so in love, his love ignited the fire of the gazebo.
And unfortunately, there was also a gas leak.
Yeah, that happened.
Everybody get back. We got a gas leak. No!
There goes the gas leak. Oh, that's got to suck.
All right, one last news story. We'll get the DVDs.
He's really flaming.
Well, maybe not one last story. I don't know. Ex-teacher gets 5 years in prison in a porn case. A former Santa Fe High School teacher was sentenced Thursday to 5 years in prison for having child pornography.
Not good. Not good.
No, not good.
I don't know.
And he's a teacher. He's a scumbag.
Yeah. I mean, this is just sad. Mark Mason pleaded no contest to 50 counts of possession of child porn. Prosecutors dropped another 51 counts. Gotta love those plea deals.
Hey, is this too much to ask? I plead to all, like, pedophiles or who are into child porn. Keep it to yourself and don't go around children. Don't become a teacher. Don't be around kids, all right? I know you're messed up and all, but why would you want to be a teacher?
Even worse is, you know, the legal system, the plea deals. Like, it's like, okay, I'll give you this so that you give me a little less time. It's like, you're guilty, but you're not as guilty anymore because you plead down.
Now, Bill, we have a caller on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Nowhere in Mulberry.
Hello, this is Brock.
Hey, Brock, what's up?
Hello, my friends.
How can we help you today, sir?
Well, I'm doing quite fine. I just didn't want to interrupt you because the conversation seemed to be flowing quite smoothly.
Okay.
We're always just BSing.
But the chat room said for me to call because you mentioned the past few weeks you guys were like, well, nobody's calling. So I said in the chat this week that if I had a chance, I would call in because I felt, you know, you guys needed a phone call. So I thought I'd give you a call and let you know that your past few shows have been absolutely hysterical.
Well, thank you, sir. That's most excellent, and the show's all mine's.
Bill, by the way, my wife actually rented Atonement, and I have to say, your Brock alert, I'm going to spoil the ending. When you mentioned the ending of the movie, it kind of screwed with my head in the beginning of the movie because this whole time I'm thinking, like the first half hour of the movie, I'm like, okay, this person has to be a ghost and this person has to be in this person's mind. Yeah, so you actually made me think like the movie was more interesting than it actually was. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it was like The Others.
The ending is just like so tacked on. It's like, oh, by the way, everything you watched, complete bullshit.
Overboard.
Well, because they dropped really early that she's a playwright, so I'm thinking, oh, this must be one of those plays she's writing. Oh, I get it. It must be someone. And then I'm like, wait a minute, my theory was totally wrong. But anyway, I actually did not call blind. I actually had a topic that I thought you guys might find interesting.
Most excellent, sir. Love
it. Most excellent. I thought you might appreciate that. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but there's a new Indiana Jones movie coming out few months. Apparently he's dusting off the fedora, okay? And apparently Hasbro has decided to make toys for the movie. And
really? Does it have anything to do with Lucasfilm?
And they're marketing it to Star Wars fans, obviously.
Not.
The nerve of those people. But the funny thing I thought was, first of all, I'm not a father or anything like that, but last I remember, kids who should be watching Indiana Jones movies don't play with toys. But I could be completely wrong about that. But one of the funny toys they have, well, funny, but kind of weird and sad and odd to me, is they have a Indiana Jones sound effects electronic sound whip.
Nice.
Oh.
So, you know,
I would have dug that as a kid.
That's awesome.
But think, what do you do with a whip but hit people with it?
What do you do with a lightsaber except hit people with it?
I wasn't allowed to have a lightsaber as a kid because, frankly, it's a long plastic stick you hit your brother with. I mean, seriously. Right.
Yeah, well, this is now a bullwhip. That's even worse.
Do you remember when the Hulk came out and they had the Hulk fist that made the smashing sounds? They'd go, It was like, hey, hit your brother, hit your sister.
The month I was walking around with the Optimus Prime helmet that they released for the movie, it changed voice to Optimus Prime.
Nice.
I'd wake up and put it on, just like, I'm going to get some eggs, roll out. Like, oh, I was entertaining only myself, but hey, it's fun.
I'm trying to post a link
because,
to
look,
a picture.
I'm not a fucking retard like Michael Bay or...
Wow. Shouldn't have brought up Michael Bay, Bill. Sore subject.
Okay,
the whip also looks like a long piece of poop. And I'm trying to post
awesome.
It in the chat.
Awesome. Nice. Turd whip.
A turd whip.
It's made out of hemp, I guess, or something like that.
So let me ask you a question. How old were you guys when you stopped playing with action figures and toys? Because I have to think that nowadays it's even younger than when we were kids because of all the
video games. Know, I was probably like 7. But you know what's funny is my best friend that lived down the road, he played with them till he was like 16. He was a real weirdo. Like, he even had the...
I'd probably say 10 or 11, probably. I was kind of late. We had the Star Wars figures, being a friend of mine.
I had like 3 Star Wars figures, and I never had them at the same time. At one time,
well,
I had a Luke.
Had like everything in the world.
At one time, I had an R2-D2, and at one time, I had a C-3PO, but I never had them at the same time. So it was really sad and pathetic.
I think the last action... Well, I guess you could call it an action figure. The last toy I had were those WWF thumb wrestlers where you stuck your thumb in their butt
and nice.
You could like wrestle with them in the ring that they had, the plastic ring. But I always thought that was weird. You stuck your thumb in their butt and then we'd like dance around with them like, oh, I'm going to take you down.
I vaguely remember those. Now,
yeah, they had the Superfly Snooker one, I believe. And I always thought that was a weird name for a wrestler anyway.
But I was never the same after I stuck my thumb in Superfly Snooker's butt.
Wow. Now, Bill, we got about 20 minutes left. You want to do the DVDs?
Yeah, let's do them.
All right, Brock. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
My pleasure, boys. Anytime. Talk to you soon.
Laters.
Thanks, Brock. Later.
It's good to hear from Brock.
Yeah, I haven't played on Xbox Live with him for a long time. I should boot up some Halo 3, give Rainbow Six Vegas 2 a break because it's driving me crazy.
Let's do some DVDs, Bill.
Let's do them.
Ow! You with me, Steven?
I'm going to try.
Let's do the DVDs.
Let's do some DVDs.
Oh, this isn't going to work.
I can't hear the music, although.
I'm going to do it for you, Steven.
Yeah.
Bill, you with me? Okay, here we go.
Let's do the DVDs.
HD, Blu-ray, Standard Definition. DVDs. Oh, man, that sucked.
See, I can't sing along because there's a delay. There's like a half a second delay. Sucked. So if I sang along, it would sound like crap.
I tried, man. I tried, Steven.
What we need is an ISDN line. Steven, get on it.
You're both pissing around like a pair of Barbie twins. You're scaring me.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What are we going to do?
All right.
Sorry to the chat room, all of our listeners, for sucking royally for that. Sorry.
What we need to do is, we've said it before, we need to record the DVD.
Record that for just when I'm gone.
You guys should appreciate my genius, okay?
I'm the only genius in the whole fucking business. Goodbye.
I love the goodbye. Goodbye. All right, Bill.
In all of Talk Radio X-dom,
what do we have in my DVDs?
Mine. All right. They're mines. They ain't yours. They're mines. April 15th, 2008 DVDs. Let's see here. I hate when I do that. Crap. All right. Alien Nation Ultimate Movie Collection. This isn't what you think. It's the Alien Nation TV film.
Yes. And you know what? I loved the Fox series. And
same here.
I haven't seen these TV films. I recently heard the creator of this series, whose name escapes me at the moment. Maybe you could help me with that, Bill. But he said that after Fox canceled the series, they regretted it and had them come back to do TV movies.
And they're all very good.
Sweet. I'm going to check them out. I want to own this. I loved Alien Nation. It was a great show.
I loved the TV series. The movie was okay, but the TV series was just great. It had the dude that looked like Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger. Which guy was that? Oh, yeah, the main guy.
Yeah, he Sykes. Looked like Mick Jagger.
His name was Sykes, which meant shithead in their alien language, remember?
Yes. Okay, now the
you didn't tell
has,
me the, what's the creator of the show's name? The same guy who created V.
Oh, Johnson?
Kenneth Johnson.
Yeah. All right, and now it has all films have the it's five movies, Dark Horizon, Body and Soul, Millennium, Enemy Within, and the Eudora Legacy. All of them have audio commentaries. Four of them have making of featurettes. It has a retrospective featurette with all the cast, some gag reels. It looks like a pretty good set.
You know what I heard about that? He got the whole cast in his living room of his house and just rolled tape, and they all talked about their favorite parts of doing the series and stuff. It sounds really cool.
That's really cool. That is. That's how these DVDs should be.
And should I say that Kenneth Johnson, he's been making the interview circuit recently because he's put out a book follow-up to the V miniseries.
Yeah, the second generation.
Now, they had the V follow-up miniseries, then the TV show, but he disowns all that because he left the series because NBC was screwing it up. Especially after, I believe, Brandon Tartikoff died, who greenlit the original miniseries. He kind of, NBC, the suits, as you say, were screwing it up, so he walked. So here is his true follow-up to the V miniseries that he's written in book form, and I want to read it. It sounds really cool.
The true follow-up to the first V miniseries, because he didn't approve of the final battle and the series, right?
Right, yeah. He was just like, what are they doing? And remember how the miniseries ended with them putting out a distress call for some alien race that maybe could help them against with their aliens? They never addressed that even on the follow-up or the TV series, but he continues on with what he would have done. And I believe he's trying to, and he has a Hollywood interest right now.
Yeah, I think they're already working on the miniseries for the second generation.
Well, here's what he said is, I listened to that interview recently on Fanboy Radio where he said he's meeting with different studios to talk about film prospects.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I think it could only work really if maybe a proposed trilogy or something like that, and it was really well done. You know,
I was just looking in the chat room, and they're delayed, of course. And Brock mentioned that Alien Nation, they got drunk on milk. But as I remember it, it had to be turned milk.
Yeah, sour.
It had to be sour. Yeah.
And it could jack you up, yo. Yeah.
Next DVD, Alien vs. Predator, Requiem, Extreme Unrated Set.
They totally missed the boat on this. It should have been called Alien Requiem for a Predator.
There you go. Or Predator Requiem for an Alien.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. That makes sense.
Because I think the movie kind of starts out on a Predator ship. I watched it. It's not great. It's got some pretty cool, like, gore in it, but it's not good at all.
Yeah. If I watch something like Aliens because I love it and then watch this, would I be like, what have they done?
Yeah. It's bad. It's bad.
It looks so gay. Remember when the first trailer came out and it was bloody and all the fanboys were like, oh man, this looks good. It's got blood in it.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, it sucks.
Come on, ask for something a little bit more, okay?
Yeah, but great, it's, I'm not spoiling it for anyone, but.
Okay, Foggy, thank
you. It's like the movie, it's like us or them at the end. Like there's the people that want to stay behind and defend the town, and then there's the grizzled woman that's supposed to be Ripley character.
Right.
And she's works.
Foggy, we get it. Aliens, okay, yes, thank you. Jesus Christ.
So her and the guy take off in a copter and the town where
everybody's
trying...
Are you telling me the ending right now?
Yes. And the town where everybody's
Rock
trying
alert.
To defend the town.
Rock, turn the off your radio.
The government nukes it and kills everyone in the town.
They totally ripped that off of the Dustin Hoffman movie.
Yeah, well, that was a firebomb, I think. But this was like, they actually nuked the town. It was so bad.
I think that's how Return of the Living Dead ended, isn't it?
Something like that.
Yes, yeah.
All right, so basically we've seen the ending before, and I hope Brock gets that.
Yeah, it sucks.
Okay.
And if you get this Extreme Unrated Set, Disc 2 has a digital copy for portable media.
A digital copy, you say? I could watch it on my PSP?
Yeah, it will.
Hey, do I get to hear a commentary from the shitheads who made this?
Not only the shitheads, but the designers, creators of the creature effects.
Fuck you, asshole.
Fuck you, asshole.
What the hell is going on? Love it! Yes! Commando! That's the best. All right. Next DVD, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, the Sidney Lumet film with Ethan Hawke, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Albert Finney, Marissa Tomei. Good movie.
I'm a huge Sidney Lumet fan.
Lumet? Yes. It's a good movie. What?
It's the devil.
Oh, I get it.
So reaching.
I thought it was cult news. Okay, so it's a good movie.
Breakfast. And right now I'm very hungry.
It's the Commando show all of a sudden.
The most amazing part of this entire movie is Marissa Tomei topless and in panties, and she looks incredible.
Get out of here.
Oh my God, does she look good. I was watching it from a screener, and that scene came on, and it's Philip Seymour Hoffman giving it to her doggy style.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy.
What movie is this?
Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Sidney Lumet did this?
Yes, he did.
Wow. I don't know if I want to see that. Especially with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
No, you can fast forward through that scene, but the scene where she... Real sound, Richard Simmons getting it.
What?
Next DVD is In the Name of the King, a dungeon scene.
Oh, that's good. Blah,
blah. Oh my God! Do you guys know who directed this?
Uwe Boll.
Yes, the guy's a misunderstood genius. I get off on this guy.
Why you get off on me like crazy?
I get off on him like crazy. What do you want? This movie or something with like George Clooney crap?
It's all that social critic George Clooney bullshit what you get every fucking weekend.
God! I'm going to put a rated R rating on this episode because Uwe Boll will not stop dropping the F-bomb on the show. I just don't know what to do.
Now, it's like we were talking like how he gets his money to make these movies and he does them. But, I mean, listen to this cast. Jason Statham, Burt Reynolds, Matthew Lillard, Ron Perlman, Claire Forlani, Lily Sobieski, Christiana Loken, Ray Liotta, John Rhys-Davies, who's Brian White?
Sir Laurence Olivier, Gielgud.
This is, what the hell?
Does he have nude photos of all these people?
I think it's blackmail, honestly, yeah. Because he is a genius.
I really think he's one charming son of a bitch. He probably kisses your ass where you're like, I love this guy. Uwe Boll is such a nice guy.
Uwe Boll.
And he's humble.
He's very humble. He's not cocky at all. He doesn't think he's a genius.
Might as well show it off.
What?
Bill, will you be watching In the Name of the King?
I'm going to have to rent it. Honestly, I gotta see this turd.
Sucked.
I love sitting through painful movies because, you know, it's kind of a love-hate thing. But I just gotta see this thing. I have to see Ray Liotta as an evil sorcerer wearing leather.
Now, what is Ray Liotta like a time-traveling sorcerer? Because I never figured out why he's just wearing a leather sports jacket.
I have no idea. Yeah, maybe he went into... you know, the store and picked it up, and I really have
Uwe
no
Boll's
idea.
Uwe Boll's like, we do not have time to measure you for your costumes. Just go on set with what you're wearing. So
sounds good to me.
So Ray Liotta was like, well, I'll stop at the store and check out some stuff.
You know, when you're making a budget film, you can't waste money on costume designers. And...
No, when you're out in the woods and it's supposed to look like ancient times. Don't you love that in movies where it's the past? You just go in the woods.
Yeah. Kind of like that timeline movie that Donner did. With like, let's go back to medieval times. Let's go in the woods.
Do you remember that, Steven? Good times.
Next DVD, a movie I really hated, but I've actually softened on it. I watched it again. I don't know. I still don't really like it, but it's Juno. Ugh. And it comes out in a special edition, DVD and Blu-ray. It's got an audio commentary with Jason Reitman and Diablo Cody, who was a stripper.
Jason Reitman, who turned down Justice League. I keep reading now. I turned down Justice League.
He said that on the Howard Stern show.
Give me kudos now.
He said it was bad. He said he read the script and he just wouldn't have been proud of it. It's got a gag reel, gag tank, cast and crew jam. So I guess they all like to play music. I don't know.
I'm really proud of you, Bill.
What?
For saying that you don't hate it.
It's still stupid. I mean, it's based in this false reality that's just
right. I mean,
hey, look how cute and funny we are.
Here's what it is. I think the first half of the film is overwritten. It's probably something she went back and rewrote more clever. But I really think it settles in and it's a decent flick. I don't think it should have won Best Picture or even been nominated, but I think it's all right. You know, it's all right.
I groan every time that scene comes up where she's dragging the living room furniture to his front lawn. It's just like,
Don't you smile, though, when she loads up the mailbox with Tic Tacs, though?
No. I think it's stupid. No, I think that's cute. That was good. All right, let's hurry up. We only have 5 minutes left.
Okay. Come on, hurry.
Lars and the Real Girl, a movie I've been interested in with, what the hell is his name? Ryan Gosling.
The guy from Metallica? What?
Yeah, he falls in love with a real doll. One of those.
Oh, yeah. Man, why is this taking so long to come out on DVD?
I don't know, but it sounds interesting, and any movie that has a guy in love with a real doll has to be funny. My DVD choice of the week, the double feature of Mannequin 2 on the Move.
Wow.
With, the first one, Andrew McCarthy, Kim Cattrall. Second one had Christy Swanson and some guy named William Ragsdale. But both had Meshach Taylor.
I remember that Meshach Taylor, he played a gay in that.
He did play a gay. A quite convincing gay.
Yeah, he was very convincing.
And no one ever said if he was gay on Designing Women. I assume he was, Now, the next DVD is kind of shocking to me. I thought it had come out a while ago. Maybe it has. Maybe they're re-releasing it. But it's a movie called The Minus Man. And it has...
Wow.
Janine Garofalo and Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson is a serial killer.
Yeah.
Why is that funny? The Minus Man is a very slow, methodical, disturbing tale about Owen Wilson as a man who can't fight his urges of poisoning people. He's just fascinated with poisoning people and watching the reaction as they slowly kill over and die. It's very creepy and just strange. And I'm not even going to say it's a great movie. It's one of those movies you really got to settle in and get ready for the slow kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Anorexic, dude!
And that's DVDs for this week, April 15th, 2008.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. I'm going to pick those up.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And song, isn't it, Bill?
That is.
Monkey versus Robot.
It does not compute.
No, it doesn't.
That's because the monkey's beating your ass.
Mine.
Yes, it's mine. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to episode 119 of Nowhere on Mulberry. Thanks for calling in, Brock, Steven, and anyone else who called in, and I can't remember. Thanks for your voicemail, Mystery Man. I'd like to thank you for listening tonight. If you'd like to go to...
Speaking of, he just popped into the chat room.
Really?
Yeah.
If you'd like to go into nowhereinmulberry.com, not our chat room. No, go into our chat room at nimchat.com during our shows. I should say that every week so people would know that. NIMCHAT on Friday nights, 10, 9 central. Check us out. Listen to us. Chat with our fellow listeners.
We got a full room tonight.
Nice.
You know, I got Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, Barbecues Galore, Brock, Classy, Credo, Glenn, IBHBC, Mystery Man, Steven's in there, Udinasha, Zell2501.
Wow.
So we had a good night tonight.
Is IG88 in there too?
No, sorry.
Oh, bummer. Well, we're about to go off the air, Bill, but I must say that go to nowhereonmulberry.com, nimpodcast@gmail.com to send us an email. Also call 1206-202-3491. And also buy some Micro Machines if you want to do that.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody. Steven, thanks for hanging in there. We could barely hear you, but it's okay. What the hell are you doing, Foggy? Christ. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll be back next week, guys.
Pissing around like a pair of Barbie twins. You're scaring me.
Wow. I think we're off the air, right? Boom goes the dynamite, everybody. Later. See you next week. Over and out.
They're playing right now, as far as I can tell.
Steven's still on the line? What the hell's going on? Cut him off, Foggy. I told you to cut him. Didn't you see that throat slash move I did?
I was ready to talk about him behind his back.
It's all that social critic George Clooney bullshit what you get every fucking weekend.
Now this is podcasting.
Minds.